This is ESPN Radio.
Thanks for joining us. A little Freddie and Fitzsimmons in the morning, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and also on ESPNU. I've had a chance to fill in on this morning show for more than the last couple of years. I've been blessed to do it with Ian Fitzsimmons, Amber Wilson, Jay Williams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This has single-handedly become my favorite moment ever of filling in on this program. And who knew that not American football, but football would start a pretty much war between Pat Costello, Nuno Teixeira, Ian Fitzsimmons, and I'm just tasty pudding in the middle of this. This all got started. Nuno put it out there that Leo Messi, early successor in Miami, 9 goals in 6 games, is bad for the league. Ian Fitzsimmons and Pat Costello have been apoplectic ever since.
Because Nuno's an idiot.
Here we go.
Name calling.
So let me go with a big picture here. To your point, Nuno says Messi's bad for the MLS.
Because
I don't get it.
Because
made Costello spontaneously combust.
It really did.
I just questioned it. And I gave the example of my daughter, who is now going to go to NFC Dallas game after Messi came to town and she couldn't go watch him play.
Right.
Because I wasn't going to pay $500 for her to walk into the stadium. I said, you can go, but you're paying for it. Break out that piggy bank babysitting money because dad and mom have not happening. Yeah, but she now said, you know what? I'm going to go to an NFC Dallas game. She hasn't been in years.
Right.
And it's because of Messi.
Okay.
Nuno just shot that whole thing down. So Nuno, what you're saying is, that when you have one of the greatest to ever play the game,
here we go.
That particular individual, because he's so great, is actually bad for the sport.
I'm not saying
he's
that.
Not saying that.
That's exactly what you said.
I know this is where you guys
are.
That's
not exactly what he said.
That's exactly what you said.
I'm on your side here. You did not say that.
Thank you. This is where I know where you start losing conversations, right? Our argument is that you change the narrative. And I do a great job of that, or avoiding conversation. I'm saying.
Well, yeah, if you ignore all the facts, then yeah, you can win an argument for sure.
I'm saying, is it translating to things? Ian, your daughter now wants to go watch FC Dallas. Pat, as I'm screening callers, is talking about, I was looking at, tickets to go to the Union to watch Messi. Oh, because now Messi's there.
Right.
Like, you're not going there to watch them because they're playing DC United. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
The second half of the argument that you yelled at me about and cut me off for is that all of a sudden, if I go and see that one game, maybe this was really fun. I'm going to come back again. Except you yelled at me.
But Messi's not playing. I recall when the Union were, in the finals last year, and that was the time that the Eagles obviously were having their success, and the Phillies were in the finals, and I brought that up, and Pat was like, "Yeah, no one cares about that."
Uh-huh.
Like it was so.
That's, I didn't. That's
like,
not even true. That's,
I was. That's
true.
I watched the whole game.
It's not even true. You're just lying. Now you're just making stuff up to fit your argument.
Your neutral corners. Neutral corners here. All right, hold on 1 second.
This Alan was so slick, Ian.
It really
Alan,
was.
You're the one that is in that control room. One.
Yeah.
I want to give myself some credit here.
Yes. Exactly.
Offsides.
Uh-huh.
Nuno. It was too easy.
Not for nothing. We had Cole Q. We going to fight? Well, we are fighting right now when it comes to the football and not American football.
That was so easy. Alan, how tense is it in the control room right now between those two?
So usually this is like me arguing with someone about like basketball.
Or the earth being flat, whatever.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with the earth. We got grapes the size of golf balls now, but that's a different conversation.
Every Tuesday in Connecticut, apparently. But go ahead. Continue.
I'm telling y'all now.
Don't start that.
Ian, I'm going to text Freddie for the foreseeable future every Tuesday when it rains, but that's besides the point. It's insane in this joint. Like, Nuno's answering calls. Like, yeah, where are you from? Dave in College Park. Pat, what do you mean about Messi? And I'm like, Lord, this is. I'm about to go to the cab and order some popcorn, man.
Oh, God.
It makes me feel good.
Hey, Pat, you want to go to DC United Red Bulls down in Harrison on Sunday? You get $12 tickets. You in?
Cricket. Come on.
Drink Red Bull.
Bump kiss. Bump
kiss. Let's go for the show.
$12,
He's not doing it.
Make Nuno drive.
I don't. So you're saying it's that Messi's bad for the MLS because I don't want to watch the Red Bulls? I don't understand. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
We're
sitting on ESPN2 and ESPNU having an MLS debate, which we've never had in the history of the morning show. And you're telling me somehow this is bad for the MLS.
Because are you now turning on to watching other games? Are you now signing up for Apple to watch other MLS games that Messi's not playing?
No, let me ask you a question.
This is tremendous.
All right, hold on.
Let's
get a 20 here, okay? Yeah.
We don't 20. Need a full we need a full timeout.
Right,
no,
let's
we
go
need
full. We'll
we
go
need
full.
60. Right, we don't need 20.
Catch your breath. Yates, stop laughing.
Right? I don't think that's possible.
See if we can keep everybody, you know, in their neutral corners.
Good luck.
So, Nuno, what you're saying is when Steph Curry or LeBron come to, let's say, where I live in Dallas to play the Mavericks, mm-hmm. and more people are showing up to go watch a phenomenal athlete, a generational type talent, that's bad for the game.
See, you guys are conflating.
He really
and I'm
is.
Using
they
the
really
argument.
Are.
Not,
they
I'm
really
talking about
are.
All of a sudden, if Steph Curry signs with, you know, Olympiacos in the Greek League, you're watching him play those games, but are you now watching the Greek League?
No.
Like, no, that's what I'm talking about. You guys think you're slick.
I got your back, Nuno.
Go ahead, Freddie. Handle
I got
these
your
guys.
Back, Nuno. I know what they're trying to do, and I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe either, neither should you.
I'm just trying
We're
to
not
keep
doing
stirring this pot of gumbo.
We got good gumbo right now. David College Park weighing on this discussion that's torn apart the morning show here on ESPN Radio. What you got, brother?
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Listen,
what do you mean,
all,
what's going
you know,
on?
Listen,
are you kidding me?
No. I'm about to lay it out to you, first of all.
Come on.
First of all, the guy that made that ridiculous comment is like 80 years old, and he was watching Pele when he was in diapers, okay?
Hey. So
he doesn't have touch reality what's going on. Messi is a rock star. I actually follow this sport. I watched the Premier League, and when he came over to this thing, first of all, Inter Miami was in the cellar in the MLS. They were doing terrible. Now they're about to win the League's Cup, okay? And you're right. You guys have never talked about this on the airwaves. So this guy has – me and my friends went to a bar to watch the game the other night, and they know nothing about soccer. But they know Messi, and they are now getting the MLS package next season, okay? And the point is this. He is growing the game. This is way bigger than when David Beckham came over. David Beckham was towards the end of his career and was nowhere near the abilities that Messi has. So he's growing the league. He's putting more eyes, and people are talking about it. Let me tell you something. Publicity is better than no publicity.
That's
and
true.
This is so much better for this sport. And so when you say that people aren't going to go to those other games, you're dead wrong. Because I'm telling you, people, just like Ian's talking about his kid, people are going to want their kids. They're going to be like, oh, I want to be like that. I want a jersey. Let's go to some games. And I'm telling you, when you watch these other teams, MLS has never had this kind of eyes on them. They
That's
really
true.
Haven't. Beckham didn't do this kind of magnitude. I mean, I'm
Dave,
telling
Dave,
you.
I have a question for you. Obviously, you watch the game and
yeah,
all that.
He's hardcore.
Right, like, yes. But here's the deal. When you start watching other teams that don't have the players or that ability on that field, do you not feel like, obviously you're different, but like your friends who don't watch soccer or don't watch MLS and realize that level of play isn't what like everything else is, does that now all of a sudden you'd be like, well, I'm only watching when Messi's playing, right?
Like, well, I'm going to tell you, like I said, my friends are getting that package because, first of all, they're very into it because they see the passion. First of all, there's more fans in these soccer games than there are at the Marlins and in the Athletics, okay?
Well, that's
so
not fair.
Fans
that's
there.
Not,
it's just,
Dave, that's
okay,
not
but
fair.
But listen, what I'm trying to prove to you, what I'm trying to say is there's passion in
the
this.
Are like, what
there's
do we
intensity.
Do?
So when people start to learn the game, it's actually entertaining. So it's like people's – but my friends didn't understand how the rules and offsides and the penalties and all that stuff. But they love the passion. They love the fight back and forth in the defense. So when people don't understand it, they don't follow it. But now, like I said, I was a new learner 4 years ago. Now I follow the DC United.
Okay.
And so I go to their games. Listen, it's not for everybody. All I'm saying to you is this guy is a game changer, and he's changed the culture for MLS for a while. Now, will he – hopefully more people, more stars are going to come over. Another one of his teammates coming over for Inter Miami. I'm saying they need more of the bigger players to come into this league. So that's how this game can grow. But I'm just saying to you that this is a game changer, and this is getting the average person interested in this. You guys just said it earlier. You all never talked about the MLS ever, and he's the reason for it. So how can this not be positive?
Nuno?
I think Nuno's not backing off his point, by the way. And I don't blame him.
I appreciate that about him.
I don't blame him.
Dave is right. We appreciate the phone call.
Absolutely. Great call, by the way.
I don't care what sport it is. Mm-hmm. When you have someone that is a generational type talent, more people are going to go and watch.
Now, watch that generational type talent.
Let me I'm trying to think of a really bad NFL team right now. Like who? If you have
Arizona
the
Cardinals.
Team, okay. Perfect.
You're welcome.
So the Chiefs are going to Arizona. Let's say maybe 50,000 people are going right to Cardinals games. But when Mahomes shows up, that's going to be a sellout. Guaranteed. Because he's a generational type talent. He is a name that transcends the sport. You know, people who aren't even fans of the National Football League, which are maybe five in the entire country.
Okay.
You know, they know the name Patrick Mahomes, whether it's TV commercials, endorsements, or just him being that spectacular at his craft.
Yeah.
That's what Messi has also done to MLS, because he is that much better. He is one of the greats to ever play internationally, and now he's here. That's not a bad thing for the MLS.
Joe Ovios wants to defend Nuno. He's going to weigh in here with Freddie coming to Ian Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. Big Joe, what you got, my friend?
Hey, guys, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
I'm shocked that nobody's made the point. I am shocked nobody's made the point for Nuno that when you score 9 goals in 6 games at this level, it shows you that he's playing on Madden Rookie. That's a bad look for MLS. When an aging superstar can collect the bag on his way out and make this look like a joke for every other guy playing in MLS. To Fitzsimmons' point, I get it. You're watching MLS, but all those other leagues that you mentioned, the NBA, the NFL, those are all embedded American sports that have TV deals. MLS doesn't have a TV deal. They had to go to Apple, and they weren't even doing so hot on Apple. They get Messi, and they finally started seeing the subs go up. So you got to be really, really specific what we're talking about here. We're watching Messi. You're going to go see Messi. You're not seeing MLS. So let's just understand that the MLS is rookie Madden mode for Messi, and Nuno is absolutely right. This is terrible for MLS. I know you guys have a break. I know the clock.
He does.
I know the clock is insane.
We're going to continue this conversation because it's got a lot of people fired up. Nuno, our producer from the Pretty Hate Love Machine, he says Messi dominating the league is a bad thing for MLS. Ian Fitzsimmons, Pat Costello, one of our guys behind the scenes, they completely disagree. Where do you stand? 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can bring your Pele, you can bring your Neymar, but you better bring your Messi, one way or the other. We'll continue to talk about that next on ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is ESPN Radio.
Don't forget to help people affected by the Hawaii wildfires. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN, redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover. Your donation enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from this disaster, and will provide people and communities affected with food, water, emergency shelter, and relief supplies. Like we mentioned, go to redcross.org/ESPN. With Ian Fitzsimmons, I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPNU. Nuno Teixeira, one of our guys behind the scenes, our producer of this program, I don't think he could have imagined what kind of storm that he would have been able to create by saying that Leo Messi dominating early in the MLS and in Miami, scoring 9 goals in 6 games, would be a bad thing for the league. Ian Fitzsimmons, my esteemed co-host, says that Nuno is out of his mind. Pat Costello, our guy behind the scenes, I don't think he and Nuno are going to be friends anymore. I don't know if they were friends in the first place. But I don't know if Nuno knew what he was doing, but it has created a lot of reaction about Leo Messi dominating being a good or bad thing early on for the MLS, early on and for their future.
Let me give you another example, Nuno.
Because it's not going to stop.
So last year, the Texas Rangers stunk. I mean, they were awful. But when Shohei Ohtani was coming to town and he was pitching, you went from 20,000 people at the trash can, Globe Life. It looks like a trash can from the outside. Inside, it's absolutely gorgeous. But you had maybe 20,000 people going to now all of a sudden, the joint was full. That's bad for baseball?
Okay, and when he left after that series, what did it go back to?
Now the Rangers are one of the best teams in baseball, so people are going again.
No,
nice try.
Stop. What does it look like now?
Attendance just through the roof.
Yeah, exactly.
It made ownership go, you know what? We're spending money in the wrong place. That's what they realized. When Aaron Judge came to town with the Yankees, they weren't going to see the Rangers last year. They were going to see Aaron Judge.
But
that's bad for baseball, though.
As Joe said, it's an established league. The MLS has been around for 20 years and is still trying to establish itself. Now, I get it. The Messi phenomenon, he's great. He's one of the greatest players ever.
He's the GOAT.
Stop that.
That Pele guy was pretty good. But go ahead.
Stop making trouble, Pat Costello.
Like, he's one of the greatest. Like, you want to see that. But, like, that's fine. You're all in on Inter Miami. Also, the fact that, like, they're the worst team in the league. They're still the worst team in the league. They're just making a great – they've made a great cup run. Like, it's not – my thing is, like, and it's the majority of the people aren't going to turn on other teams just because of Messi. And if they are, they're going to realize that the quality isn't there. You watch the EPL because you know the quality across the board is there, right?
Yeah.
You know, other leagues with the Bundesliga or
La Liga,
like there's more of a top heavy, but you're watching that. That's like,
okay, you're losing me.
See, but I
know,
right.
You know what this really is?
Oh God, here we go.
Nuno's Portuguese and loves Ronaldo, and that's all it is. He doesn't like Messi. He likes Ronaldo.
We're going along national lines now.
Yeah, that feels kind of.
I know what that is.
You just hate Messi.
That's like an HR violation.
That's completely a PR violation here. No question.
Pat, we'll be seeing you in ER later.
Exactly.
It's just interesting to me, Freddie.
The ER or HR? Hang on a minute.
He'll go to HR, but then Nuno's going to put him in the ER if this keeps up. What you got,
Alan? Employee relations, yes. ER.
The sick part about this whole thing is Nuno ain't really have a problem with Messi until he starts doing things against a Philadelphia team.
That had nothing to do with it.
So now I'm just like, what is going on out of this joint, man? Is this some type of...
Nuno just hates Philly and Messi. That's really what it comes down to.
Fantastic. Now people will be adding him on Twitter because of that. Thank you so much. John in New Jersey, what do you got to say about Leo Messi dominating the MLS? Is that a good or a bad thing for the league?
In general, I mean, we have to look at this historically. If you look at the NASL back in the late 70s, early 80s, Pele, Caniglia, all those guys coming to the Cosmos was a bad thing because, one, there was no TV deal. Two, they didn't own their own stadiums. And people only wanted to watch the Cosmos. So the Cosmos were getting 78,000 at Giant Stadium every week while the rest of the league was suffering. But if you look at the league now today, most of the teams have their own stadiums. LAFC, Atlanta, Seattle, Columbus, Cincinnati, they fill up their stadiums every week with way before Messi. Every week they fill up their stadium.
Right.
And MLS is like Major League Baseball in a sense where you watch your team play, you don't really watch the other teams play. And everything was a local TV deal up until this year. Now it's a national TV deal. I have Red Bull season tickets, actually. I'm sick, but they stink. And they do nothing to improve the team. But that's besides the point. I think now, about a week ago, they announced that starting next year, there's going to be 4 designated player slots. Starting next year, you could play up to 4 players as much as you want, exempt from the salary cap. So The idea is they're going to – other teams now with all this Apple money coming in are going to also buy players. It's going to be a competition between MLS and the Saudi League on who's going to improve their teams. Other teams are going to bring in superstars. There's no doubt. And they own their stadiums. And, yeah, if it was in the early 80s, it would be terrible for the league. But I think now with all the other parts in place, Messi coming in, bringing in more eyeballs, and then forcing other teams to compete – eventually, it's going to trickle down. It's going to be fine. The league's going to grow like crazy.
Well, I certainly hope so. By the way, thanks for the phone call. We'll see, because they thought that was going to be the same case with Pele and the New York Cosmos, and that did not happen for NASL, the North American Soccer League, that was out of business about five to 6 years afterwards.
I just don't get how you can have someone come in, put more eyeballs on TVs, more butts in seats, and that's a bad thing. I do understand what you're saying. I completely understand what you're saying. But anytime you can get someone to go watch your product and you're that generational type talent isn't there the next week, but if you can get 10 people, 20 people, 100 people more to go and watch or go back to a game, I don't see how that is a bad thing. If you get one more butt in a seat compared to even 10,000 more people at your venue after Messi is gone, to me, that's not a bad thing. Heck, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did it when the NBA did not have a TV deal. Games were on tape delay, right?
The NBA Finals were, yeah.
I mean,
NBA Finals on tape
delay. Yeah, and now all of a sudden you get these remarkable generational-type talents with these personalities and a great trash talker and a showman, and the NBA goes to a whole nother level. I'm not saying that's going to happen with MLS by any stretch, but my point is it's not a bad thing that you have – one of the greatest to ever play the game, now in your league.
Nuno's not backing off that. He's staying on that perch. But that was fun, that kind of discussion. Either way, Nuno was getting it, and he was not backing down. E. Fitzsimmons, Freddie Cohen, thanks for joining us. A little Freddie Fitzsimmons in the morning on ESPN Radio. Both the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. We go back to American football. Three rookie quarterbacks will be starting day one this season in the NFL. Should that be the case? We'll talk to a man who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
So we're going to have not one, not two, but three rookie quarterbacks starting on opening day. C.J. Stroud with Houston. Bryce joined the Carolina Panthers. And, of course, the latest one, Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk to somebody who, A, is going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame sooner than later. B, does a great podcast called Cut To It alongside Coley Mick. And C, was doing his thing as a wide receiver in the NFL. He is Steve Smith Jr., the NFL Network analyst. A great follow on Twitter at C. Smith Sr., 89. Steve, I'm going to start right there, the rookie quarterbacks. I mentioned Bryce Young in Carolina. You play for that organization. Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, the Indianapolis Colts. What are your thoughts on three rookie quarterbacks getting to start opening day in 2023?
Well, good morning. It kind of tells you where the quarterback position is. You know, it's key, it's essential. They touch the ball every single time. However, it also tells you that the guys that were there prior to them just didn't get it done. And it's more of understanding that the, you know, the foundation of a winning organization starts at the quarterback position, and people are using a lot of equity to put themselves in position to get their quarterback of the future to help them go.
You've seen every kind of coverage, every formation, and you've played with a lot of QBs over your years and a very long career in the National Football League. What's the best advice you can give to a rookie quarterback going into their first season as a starter at this level?
Well, I mean, this may be shocking to you, but I can't give them anything because I've never played quarterback. And every organization is different, right? And I understand, I played, but the game is – it hasn't necessarily changed. But depending on incompetence and competence depends on how successful your quarterback is going to be. And we've seen it. You can get the wrong head coach or the wrong system, and it turns out to damage a quarterback for the remainder of his career early on.
Former NFL wide receiver Steve Smith Sr. Hit him on Twitter, Steve Smith Sr. 89, also co-host of Cut to It podcast alongside Coley Mick with Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. So out of those three guys we mentioned, Steve, which rookie quarterback, in your opinion, because I love what you said about incompetence and competence with the kind of coaching staff that's around a quarterback, which is the best quarterback and the best place to succeed early on when opening day happens in 2023?
Well, I got to go with the two organizations who don't have a running back demanding a trade. You got to go with the Carolina Panthers or the Houston Texans. The Colts, their quarterback is Anthony Richardson. Athletic, he has some, he's not perfect, but he has some, intermediate throws that he needs to work on, take a little bit of sauce off the ball. But their running back asked for a trade. He isn't showing up. They're bell cow. And we don't really know who's going to fill in into that position. The best thing for a quarterback, a young quarterback, is a dominant running game or a good running game. And right now we can't say the Colts have a dominant or running game because we don't know who the starting running back is going to be opening day.
Great point. And by the way, Amen. Going back to my advice question, I really was expecting to go, just throw me the ball. I got you. Just hit me. I've got you covered. They're done. End of conversation.
You don't want to throw me the ball. I'm 44, bro.
Hey, Steve, if you could play with one quarterback right now, if you could pick one guy to go, you know what?
No, I'm not. No. I can't do that.
All right. Who?
Here's why. Here's why you can't do that. Right? So many things have, and I bring up a guy, Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins. So many people say things about Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins really, over the last couple of years, has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks. He doesn't get a lot of pub. He gets kind of thrown in there that he's holding down that Minnesota Vikings team, but their defense is giving up so many yards over the last couple of years that Kirk gets lumped in there as if Kirk is out there throwing a whole bunch of interceptions, and he's not. And so I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, which quarterback would I love to play with right now? Because really, saying which quarterback right now, I don't know these guys' work ethics. I don't know their habits. Mm-hmm. And I'm also old school dude. And I want to catch passes. I'm jealous of my guy, Reggie Wayne, right, who should be in the Hall of Fame. He caught passes and got to play next to to Harrison and Peyton Manning, right, Trent Green, Boomer Esiason. There's so many great quarterbacks that actually have proven that they're great in the Hall of Fame. And all of a sudden, we want to give a guy who's had a cup of coffee and a little bit of equal in his coffee, all of a sudden, who wants to play with him? Man, I don't know if he even knows how to make a cappuccino, right? So, I think all of these quarterbacks that these teams have drafted, I do believe they're going to be fun to watch. I do believe they're going to make some mistakes. But the fact of the matter is, these young guys have more excitement coming into the league, like the Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. A little bit of, let's be honest, a couple of years ago, we were talking about the excitement of the 49ers are Trey Lance. Just because you have excitement and you got a little butterflies in your stomach doesn't always mean that you're going to have this. The excitement is going to equal up to a great experience.
Well done. Steve Smith Sr., who had over 1,000 catches in NFL career, 1,031 to be example. By the way, does a great job as an NFL Network analyst, part of the Cut to It podcast with Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Which team, in your opinion, Steve, is the biggest threat to Kansas City to keep them from making it back-to-back?
I mean, you got to go with the Jets because of what they look like on paper, and then obviously with Aaron Rodgers. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers has a bad day. Man, a bad day for Aaron Rodgers is like a bad, you know, I'm not a great golfer. I'll take a bad day, bad golfer day on the PGA Tour than my golf. Right? you got Josh Allen in Buffalo. You're not sure what that I call them the track meet team now, the Miami Dolphins. I think the AFC is loaded, and it's going to be exciting to see which team can dethrone them or, you know, who's going to push them to the brink of possibility of not making it. And that's obviously you got to go with the Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, Steve. Recently we have seen you, shall we say, uncomfortable on the NFL Network set, freezing your tail off in Buffalo last year.
Oh, yeah.
Training camp, sweating your butt off this year. If you had your choice to play in like a 118 heat index or negative 18, which one are you going with? Extreme heat, extreme cold?
Man, that is a terrible question. I'm a cramper and I'm a natural sweater anyway. Uh-huh. So it's like I'm driving to the airport because I got to do the Panthers game and Giants game tomorrow.
Right.
And it's 79 degrees and I'm a little hot. Man, 118, I will full body cramp. I love skiing, but I like to ski with winter gear on. So if I can have like a blanket and some of that stuff, I mean, the excitement of the game, I think cold weather, but negative 18, I played that in Colorado. I would go with cold over the heat. I can't do the heat.
I love
I'm too much of a sweater.
I love the that was a terrible question. Hey, you mentioned playing the cold weather stuff. You're Utah Ute. A lot of people don't remember that. Yeah. Conference realignment. How do you feel about your alma mater? I know you're a proud Ute, man, and Kyle Whittingham's one of our guys. How do you feel about them leaving the Pac-12 and heading into the Big 12 and surviving?
The word is surviving. I think it's essential. You know, obviously the Pac-12, what happened losing the two LA teams kind of really put that down into a roller coaster. It just went, it spiraled pretty just about what in it over a 15-hour period.
Right.
I'm happy for us. You know, when I look at who we have to play, I think that does also enhance that we're going to have to, you know, recruit a little bit harder because the type of teams that we're going to play, it's not going to be the Pac-12. It's not going to be Oregon State. It's not going to be Oregon. They're going to be some pretty big-time schools. And so we're going to have to raise our recruiting because the type of players that we have had have been great. But we're playing now some teams that, man, they just – we found out over the last couple of years going to the Rose Bowl that it's a little bit different in over there, and we're going to have to make the adjustments. And I believe Kyle Whittingham – is, and man, I'm always rooting for my Utes. I go to a lot of games out there, so you know, I'm super excited for them.
Yeah, no doubt about that. From Utah to 1,031 catches in the NFL, now part of the NFL Network Analyst Group. He does a great job with that. And check out his Cut to It podcast, hosted by him and Coley Mick. Cut to It gives fans a perspective and inside knowledge of the game that they can't find anywhere else. Now part of the Underdog Network, Cut to It is the new home for all things NFL and streams weekly on YouTube and Underdog channels. Part of that is Steve Smith Sr. Hit him on Twitter, Steve Smith Sr. 89, who would rather play in the cold and not the heat. He joined Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Hey, Steve, keep up the great work and safe travels when you get the chance to Carolina Panthers and New York Giants tomorrow, part of the NFL Network, okay?
Well, appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is ESPN Radio.
Man, that is a terrible question.
I wish I hadn't laughed so quickly, because that drop would be a little bit cleaner.
Either way, well, we can figure that out. All thanks right. to Steve Smith Sr. When Ian Fitzsimmons asked him, would you rather play in the cold, minus 18 degrees, or extreme heat, 100 degrees? And he said, I sweat a lot. That is a terrible question.
Man, that is a terrible question.
It sounded like he was smiling when he said it.
Yeah, exactly. He did. He did. He really did. Oh, goodness man. Gracious. Ian Fitzsimmons, Freddie Coleman together.
He went on to say, man, hey, you can put more clothes on. Yeah, I can warm up on the bench. Absolutely. You only take so much off.
Yeah, he said, as much of a sweater as he is, he's like, yeah, that heat thing, nah, that's not for me, son.
Terrible question.
ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPNU with my man Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman. Always hit us on Twitter. Ian's handle, Ian Fitz ESPN, my handle, at Coleman ESPN. 9 days away from college football getting started. All gets started in Dublin, Ireland, as Navy takes on number 13 Notre Dame. The top five teams according to preseason rankings. Of course, Georgia's number one. They got 60 out of 63 first-place votes. Michigan at number two. They got 2 first-place votes. Ohio State, number 3. They got 1 first-place vote. Alabama, number 4. And LSU, number 5. So we know that teams are going to have us excited. I'm taking Georgia out of the equation. They're not going to lose a game until November if they lose any games at all. That potential is not there. What other teams have gotten your attention to say, man, I can't wait to see exactly what that's going to look like?
I'm going to put Bama in that category also, because we're always going to be excited to see what they have,
true.
Whether you hate or love the Crimson Tide under Nick Saban.
That's
true. I
mean,
they're just one of those teams. LSU for me, week one against Florida State. Matter of fact, both of these teams, LSU ranked 5th in the AP poll preseason, Florida State coming in at number 8. Florida State is one of the best defensive lines in the country, and in a remarkable story last year, and the emergence of Jordan Travis, a quarterback.
Right.
But man, you go to LSU, they were in 1 year under Brian Kelly. We had them week one against Florida State in the Superdome last year. This game is at Camping World in Orlando coming up on September 3rd. Standalone game on Sunday night. So this is a big recruiting moment also for both of these teams. But LSU week one last year, they couldn't walk and chew gum without like tripping over themselves. Fast forward to the end of the season when they're beating Big Bad Bama in overtime, they were a different team. Harold Perkins at linebacker was a different player. Jaden Daniels at quarterback was a different player. I mean, and now you've got young offensive linemen like Will Campbell at left tackle, who's no longer a freshman, and he played pretty well last year. You get Mason Smith back. LSU, to me, is one of those squads where I'm looking at not just as a contender in the SEC West.
Right.
But a college football playoff contender.
Okay, one team that I have on my radar, I want to see what Texas is going to do, because you mentioned this earlier in the show.
That's a good call.
Maybe the most, not maybe, this is the most talent that Steve Sarkisian has had. And he has built up a kind of an SEC team, because guess what? They and their frenemy Oklahoma going into the SEC next year. So he knew he needed to have that kind of jumpstart in the final year in the Big 12 to let everybody know that we're going to be ready to dominate this league and then go to the SEC. It's not so much about Arch Manning starting a quarterback, whether that's going to happen or not. He's got two other dudes that he's battling with, and Quinn Ewers was the starter last year. But I want to see exactly how he can manifest that talent, because based on that, they should clearly be the best team in the Big 12. But how many times we said about Texas in the Big 12 having the most talent and falling short of winning a Big 12 championship? I got that team a preseason number 11. I got them circled to see what kind of Texas team we're going to see in their final year in the Big 12 before they head to the SEC with Oklahoma next year.
That's a great call. Yeah, and look, it says a lot also when you have a talent at quarterback like Malik Murphy, who was being courted by any school that needed a quarterback to come and hit the NIL and the portal, right? I mean, hit that portal and we're going to get you that NIL money. He stayed. It's going to be Quinn Ewers. That's your starter.
Yep.
You know,
he's
and
the dude.
Then it's a battle between Malik and Arch. And I think Malik is going to be the backup.
Okay.
Arch Manning's, look, from what I've been told, he's cool with redshirting. Now, Sark told me he's not going to do that. He wants competition every single week, especially at that position. But he's got four games to redshirt him. So you might see Arch in a game or two. Who knows? But it's Quinn Ewers' football team, followed up by Malik Murphy. But that's a great call by you because everyone's talking about Texas being back.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's, to me, they're like the Dallas Cowboys. You got to show it to me when it matters most.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get a quick barometer on this team week two in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, especially because, you know, Alabama barely beat them last year in Austin, Texas. And Bryce Young was magnificent because he had no choice but to be in that situation. Now, Alabama, with their quarterback, quote-unquote, issues, and Nick Saban, whoever he decides, he doesn't play flip-flop at that position. If you're going to be his guy, you got to play yourself out and not have to worry about somebody looking over your shoulder. That means that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But whoever he decides on, if it's Bachner, the transfer from Notre Dame, because now they got Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, whoever he decides is going to be playing quarterback, that's going to be interesting because they should have enough skill position people to be kind of an Alabama team that we're used to seeing, even though right now it is Georgia's world, and LSU is right behind Alabama in the SEC West.
And Freddie, let's go a little deeper. What's going on with Cam Rising at Utah?
Yeah.
Utah's star quarterback that led him to a Pac-12 championship game last year and another Pac-12 title. You know, he's coming off that ACL. And we got Florida week one on a Thursday night primetime with Fowler and the boys and Herbie on the call on ABC. That one is going to be interesting, to say the least, because the Utah Utes, that defense might be the best that Morgan Scalley, their defensive coordinator, has had.
Yeah.
And look at the talent he's put out into the National Football League with Devin Lloyd just last, you know, as a recent first round pick.
Right.
So that's an interesting one. And then Texas Tech.
You like them down in Lubbock, the land of Buddy Holly and Janis Joplin. You like them, don't you?
Watch out, man. If they can keep Tyler Shuck, their quarterback, healthy, they are going to be a team to reckon with. Be careful, Oregon, week two.
Yeah.
Going into the tortilla heads there at Lubbock at AT&T, it is not going to be easy. That crowd is going to be medieval.
Real quick, you mentioned Oregon. The Pac-12 this year, you got USC at number 6, Washington at number 10, Oregon at number 15, all leaving after the season is over.
And Oregon State at 18.
Oregon State at 18.
Stuck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be interesting, the Pac-12 this year. All great those point. Teams saying adios to go to other places for more money. And we don't know what kind of conference that – well, it's not a conference anymore – what that's going to look like for the future of the Pac-12 with all those teams leaving after this year.
Great point, man. It's probably deeper than it has been in years.
Yeah.
Departing.
Yeah, exactly. They're not starting. They're departing. They're all leaving after this year. The Jets offensive line, who's going to be starting and who's going to be departing? We'll get to that next. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.